This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield, adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown, 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor, because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Atlanta has beaten the Rams 27-24 in a thriller in Georgia.
Wow. That was a great football game.
We had a lot of...
We had a lot of things going on. 93-yard touchdowns, pick sixes, block kicks for touchdowns. I mean, unbelievable football game.
NFL Network analyst.
And Jared Goff off to a hot start. 9-11 throwing the football with two gloves on.
Yeah, he's got the two gloves on today. I don't see that very often. I saw Kurt Warner do it a few times.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes.
Dub Bears.
On 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, which is presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And our segment with Kurt Warner. We love that when we get the opportunity to talk with him. Is also brought to you by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. How are you as we get ready to start playoff week?
I'm great. This is the time of year that the energy of the playoffs just carry you from here on out. So I am pumped. We have unbelievable matchups for wild card weekend. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, we can't either. And we get Bears Packers. But before we go to that, and even before we get to the game yesterday, we started the show by kind of celebrating the season that was offensively. The Bears end up with the third best run game in the NFL, sixth best in yardage, ninth in scoring, third best in sack rate, which is an incredible accomplishment, best in interception rate. And, oh, by the way, they ran the second most plays under center behind the Rams, according to any team. So what Ben Johnson has built here in a year and what Caleb Williams has helped accomplish, we should be proud, or at least impressed with what we've seen, shouldn't we?
Definitely impressed. Obviously, all of that led to the number two seed, home games in the playoffs. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. And we've been saying it all year, is that, and I watch this offense, and I still think there is so much meat on the bone. And that's, I think, the exciting part of it, is that, you know, I've been kind of skeptical all year, just kind of prove it to me. And they continue to prove different things just about every single week. Unfortunately, I'm still there with this team going into the playoffs. Like, show me that you are a championship caliber team. I don't necessarily see that on tape every week that I believe they can win a championship. But I do believe that they can beat anybody. I do believe that they can put it together. They've got playmakers and what you're talking about. Ben has built something specifically offensively that can travel into the playoffs and can be tough to, what I would say, they'll be a tough out. They will be tough to stop in all their facets offensively. So I really like where they're at. But I still, I guess, need to be convinced come playoff time that they can compete for the championship. But, I mean, come on. Like, this is incredible. First year, second year quarterback. What we're talking about is pretty awesome. So, yes, Bears fans should be excited with where they're at and the possibilities going into the playoffs. But just as importantly, I think, is what they're going to be moving forward with what we've seen in this short period of time.
From week to week, you have educated us on the things that you like and you don't like about Caleb. Now that we have a composite, 17 games of him with Ben Johnson, where are the places where you see the growth and where are the places where you still think he can improve?
I think growth overall, when you're talking about from last year to this year, the first thing is processing factor. And I'll even say with that is that I still think he has to process faster than he is, but I've seen great growth from where he was last year to this year. In terms of taking sacks, where he's at this year in terms of taking sacks and understanding when a play is over, which has got to be really hard for Caleb Williams, because we've seen, plays this year that probably 99% of the world would say it's over, throw it away or whatever. And he makes an incredible play. But I think he's done a great job of balancing that with throwing the football away and not taking sacks and not taking negative plays and not trying to prolong things too much where it's hurt this football team. I think he's been great in terms of, when they've got into the play action, and you talked about the under center stuff. I think that process, I don't know how many snaps it was last year that he was under center, but it was very few, and obviously very few before that in college and stuff. And so that transition, and I think he's done really, really well. A lot of their big plays down the field, which really plays into what Caleb is and I think his greatest strength is that ability to push the ball down the field, has come from the under center play action. And that has taken an enormous jump this year. I still think there's some technique stuff, the efficiency, whether that is processing or being where he needs to be on time, and then cleaning up the technique so we can be more efficient with the throws. Like he's seen a lot of plays, that were open and that were there, and he just hasn't made all the throws this year. So, that's an area I think you got to hope for a lot of improvement. But I think we've seen improvement in so many different areas in this first year that it really has been fun to watch. And now it has you so excited about, okay, this has been great, and I don't know what the playoffs have in store, but I can't wait till next year. I can't wait to watch him with another offseason and with Ben and what they're doing and in this offense and see what kind of jump he can make.
It's great stuff from Kurt Warner right here on Spiegel and Holmes. The Lions played lots of zone yesterday, and apparently the Bears were expecting lots of man. So the switch up happened. And I wonder, because Caleb, Lawrence, you had pointed out in the group thread that Caleb had audibled. He checked into plays that ended up being negatives a couple of times. So maybe he's just a young quarterback. He's still confusable. What happens if you're expecting man and you're getting a lot of zone?
Well, I mean, it all varies. It depends on, what you're doing, what you're trying to do, what the checks are, certain things are designed because, puts an extra guy into, the mix in the run game. So you're going to a pass and you're expecting a certain kind of coverage on the back end. And so, there's so many variables that go into all of that stuff. And, some things that could be good against the zone can be good against man as well. But there's other things that might be designed for a different kind of zone that's not great against man. And so, yeah, being able to determine those different things and figure out a little nuance. And then, if you do get fooled, because sometimes that happens, you think you're going to get this and all of a sudden they give you that. Okay, what's the answer now? What are we going to do if that happens. And so, you know, that's just a hard one to answer because there's so many factors that go into changing a play or alerting a play or whatever that may be.
All right, well, let me flip that then, that same discussion, but on the offensive side. The Bears' defense seems to struggle in man. And it's been for the last few weeks where we've seen a lot of crossing routes, a lot of man-beater concepts that have actually worked against the Bears. So if you're DA and you spent most of the game yesterday doing that and running into problems because you had a quarterback like Jared Goff that was good at diagnosing what he was seeing, and then guys like Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown that can run away from guys, if you're DA and you're going into this game against the Packers, maybe concerned that you don't have healthy enough guys to run as much man as you want, as a quarterback, how would you be viewing the Bears' defense? What would you say is their strength, and how would you try to flip it on them?
Well, I mean, I personally think their strength is probably playing zone defense and you know, trying to change it up and keep you off balance and force you into situations where you can make, you know, little mistakes on the back end. I don't think they're a great man team. I don't think they're a great defense by any means. And so when you're not a great defense, I don't know if you want to play a lot of man coverage where, you know, somebody gets beat and it leads to big plays, because to me, this defense is keep them in front of you. You know, you guys have been great at you know, when the ball's tipped or when somebody's in a negative situation, you had, you know, Jared Goff in that, you know, third and long and great at taking the ball away and making plays from that perspective. You just have to avoid the big plays that can hurt you. And I think especially now, because their offense, you know, although been good, not necessarily great, and especially at different times. We saw it yesterday, had trouble putting a lot of points on the board. So you never want a team, and I could go back to the first Detroit game, right? The first Detroit game, man, it was big play after big play after big play after big play. Game got away from them, and the offense couldn't keep up. And so to me, it's more of a zone team. Of course, you can change it up and mix in your mans when you have to do that. But more of a zone team, keep teams in front of you and try to force teams into mistakes and then keep capitalizing on them like you have all year long.
Kurt, did you get a chance to see the interception or maybe even the replay of the interception that was ahead of DJ Moore? It's the only interception of the day, the deep ball into the end zone. Wondering what your thoughts were on that play. There looked to be some blank space off to the left. Maybe Caleb could have put in a different spot for DJ to run, but some of us were also wondering if DJ made the best effort necessarily on that play.
I don't know. I mean, those are so hard. When you're throwing a 55-yard pass, to expect a quarterback always to just drop it in the perfect spot, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there was a defender that was kind of underneath and to the outside of the throw. The guy that intercepted it was the guy over the top. You know, DJ, you know, was kind of splitting the two and you know, one kind of one, you know, he was in a position where he could have made a play. I know what you guys are saying. Like, you know, maybe there could have just been a little more of a burst for him to get to the ball instead of the defender. But again, I just think that was one of those, hey, we got our shot play called. He won to some degree. Throw it out there and take a shot. Like, this is what we've been good at. You know, take a shot. And most times when that happens, you hope that the ball hits the ground if you don't complete it. But if a team, you know, makes the interception there, hopefully you get them down to the ground and it's a 55-yard punt and you live for another day, but at least you're threatening a defense and taking a chance. So I think that was really just a – wasn't a terrible throw, wasn't terrible on anybody's part. He wasn't wide open. It was just, hey, this is a shot. We got a chance at it. Let's put it out there. And it just didn't work out for him this time, but they've made so many of those this year.
If it was one of your wide receivers who didn't necessarily go get it, would you be upset in the moment?
I don't think so on that one. I mean, okay. Again, that wasn't one that I thought, oh, that should have been completed. You know, what were you doing, DJ? I didn't think that. I just thought it was close and you know, we just missed.
Okay.
And they were there to make a play. I didn't see it the other way.
All right. So Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce, they wouldn't put you in that position, we understand.
Kurt,
they probably would have been open by 7 yards. So,
that's right.
So I could have missed by 5 yards and we'd still be good.
What's real and what's fantasy when it comes to how things change from the regular season to the postseason?
You know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the pace of things and everything, you know, being faster. And I don't know if that's possible. I mean, that would just be saying, oh, guys don't play as hard and as fast in the regular season as they, you know, they just decide to play a little bit faster, you know, in the playoffs. Like, I don't think that's the case. I think what makes it feel faster and better is, you know, the fact that you understand the stakes. You understand the ramifications of every play. And, you know, one play that costs you a regular season game is different than one play that knocks you out of the playoffs and sends you home. You know, so I think you understand that. I think the other part of it, too, is that you're playing against really good teams every week. So it's not as if, okay, we're playing against a bad team and then we're playing against an average team. And then we got a good team. And then we got an average team again. You know, like, everybody's good. And so every play and every game is so vital. And you just have to be a little bit better. You got to be a little bit more buttoned up. And you got to make the plays that are there. And you can't let them make, you know, the plays on the other side. And so that, to me, is really the biggest difference. And then, you know, when you talk about pressure, you know, the one thing to me about, you know, playoff time and when it comes to pressure is – I think there's so much to not letting one play lead into another play that leads into another play. And so, you know, in the regular season, again, you know, there's going to be another shot. There's going to be another game. There's going to be, like, every game doesn't mean as much. When you're in those big moments and you make a mistake, you know, it's so easy to go, oh my gosh, you know, if I make another mistake, we're going to go home and we're not going to get another shot. And so you allow one play to lead into another play to lead into another play. And that's what oftentimes can sink people. You know, I played in 3 Super Bowls and, you know, my first Super Bowl, we were up 16-0 and then we were tied 16-16. In my second Super Bowl, we were down 17-3, I think. And we came back and tied it at 17-17. And then in my last Super Bowl, we were down 10 at the half and we came back and took the lead with 2.5 minutes to go. So all that to say, there's ebbs and flows in these big games, just like every other game. But if you start to panic when something goes against you early, that's usually when the blowouts happen. That's usually when the good teams take advantage of it. So you really have to allow, you know, when we talk about the pressure, is you can't let that part of the pressure get to you, thinking, oh, shoot, that one play just cost us this playoff game. You got to ride the wave and you got to get back in line, and you got to, you know, one snap and clear, let that play go and get to the next one, because things can change and, you know, momentum shifts in these big games just as much as they do in any regular season game.
Kurt Warner was in some good Super Bowls. That's one of the takeaways right there.
Yeah,
those are some good games. All right, so you mentioned you don't necessarily see the Bears as being championship caliber, and we totally understand that. Who does strike you as possibly championship caliber as the playoffs are about to get going here?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I look at the NFC, I think there's a lot of teams with flaws. Like, I do think Seattle's the best team. They're going to be playing at home. Their defense is really, really good. I mean, championship level defense and a solid offense. I don't think they're a great offense. I think they can be beaten. I think they're going to be in some low-scoring games, and so I think there's going to be some teams that might have a chance to beat them because they're not this high-flying offense. But I do think they're the best team on the NFC side when you look at the completeness of their team. I would have said the Rams a couple weeks ago. I did say the Rams a couple weeks ago, and I still think they're a good football team with great explosiveness and a lot of pieces on offense. But I don't think they've played as well. I mean, obviously their record shows they haven't played as well, but specifically these last two games, I called the Monday night. I just got done watching the tape from yesterday's game against Arizona, and they just don't seem to be clicking like they were earlier in the year. where I think they're a really good football team. And I don't think if there's any team maybe outside of going to Seattle that you don't want to face, I think it's the Rams because, you know, because of all the things that they have. But I just don't think they're playing their best football going into the playoffs. So all these other teams, Philly, we know the issues they've got on offense, although they have a championship level defense. San Francisco, they've been playing great on offense before Saturday night, but their defense has all kinds of issues. Green Bay, I have no idea what we're getting there. You know, they haven't, you know, really done anything since Micah got hurt and then, you know, Jordan. So I don't really know. I don't think, you know, this is a field of a bunch of dominating teams on the NFC side. And so I think that's what makes it exciting is, you know, a young team like Chicago has a shot. A veteran team like Philly that hasn't played great all year has a shot. You know, the wild card teams have a shot. I'm excited to watch it play out because I don't think there is a dominating team in the NFC. And I do think Seattle is the best of all of them, but still have their weaknesses.
Kurt, as always, we appreciate the education. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Take care. Good luck.
Great stuff. Thanks, Kurt. He wears two gloves sometimes when it's cold outside.
It's important.
Yeah.
That was his choice. There was another Hall of Fame quarterback that said he only wore one.
Yeah. I always wear two gloves when it's time to be outside in the cold.
If they don't fit.
Then you know what to do.
That's right.
Yeah, you do. I love that. Green Bay, I have no idea what we're going to get.
That's what I've been saying is on paper, they're the team that you want to play.
Yeah.
But you put the jersey on, you put the helmet on.
Sure.
It makes it it feels like if you say that out loud, it conjures some sort of curse.
Don't let them in.
Right?
You got to let the right one in. And you're afraid you're letting in the Packers. Tanny, we need that short cut from Kurt Warner for Turn the Page whenever we decide to do it.
Again, yeah, Ben.
We're not doing it today, just so everybody knows. Ben wants us to, but we refuse today because we're going to sit in whatever that was yesterday.
Especially in the next segment, there was a lot wrong with the Bears' defense yesterday. And it's not the first time that we've seen some of the wrong. We'll go through that next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
St. Brown's got all three targets so far in this game on third down. See if he gets a fourth.
Looking that way. Got thrown that way. Guess what, Tommy does? It's another first down. Keep going back to it for Amon. Amon-Ra St. Brown, his fifth catch of the game.
Yeah, and a tough matchup for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Say he's more of a zone type player, and you're going against St. Brown. That twitchiness at the top sticks his right foot in the ground. That's all you need. And again, more accuracy from Goff. Perfect runner's ball, A plus. So good just getting it to your best guy. At some point, this defense needs to adjust.
Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports, as Tom Brady with the analysis. We'll hear more from him momentarily. The Bears lost yesterday, and in doing so, there were some rough moments for Dennis Allen's defense. And you'd have to make up your own mind on whether they were just trying stuff. They were just out there seeing what their man coverage looks like. And I would argue that we had a really good example of what their man coverage looked like the week before.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I know they only gave up 19 points, and I know that they got one turnover, and that you need your offense to get into the 20s to win games of this consequence. But we can be honest about what the defense has struggled with as well. They've given up 1,313 yards since week 16. That's three games, 1,313 yards. Especially in the first half, they have been dominated by team after team after team. Other than the Browns game, the last four of the last five, they've been dominated in the first half, giving up 900-plus yards in the first half. And you saw yesterday, it wasn't just one receiver or two receivers. It was multiple receivers.
Everybody.
Beating Jalen Johnson and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Nashawn Wright in man coverage on these little crossers.
T.J. Edwards.
T.J. Edwards across the middle. And they beat him in zone too. But you got big-time problems in coverage right now that the whole league knows about. And you got good offenses that you're going to have to try and stop.
So let's hear a little bit more from Tom Brady on the subject, because he talked about it. And he was paying close attention to some of the problems that the Bears had in man.
That's going to be my question to you. Are you surprised the Bears are staying in man when they're getting carved up?
It has not gone very well for them today. And sporadically, they might have to pick their spots. But if Goff keeps feeding them around to all these different guys, Tesla and Raymond, it's a hard task for them to lock it in.
Yeah, like you're going to have to play man sometimes.
Of course.
It's not like you can just be a zone team all the time, like Kurt Warner was hinting at. Yeah, they're better in zone, but sometimes you got to do it.
I mean, even Lovey's teams played man, 30% of the time. So it's going to come up. The problem is that when they've done it, it's been for explosive plays. It's part of the reason that I didn't want them to end up with the Rams as the opponent, because that quarterback and his core of pass catchers and that coach could scheme it up for you and recognize it and then take advantage of it.
All right, so the Rams we'd be afraid of. I agree. The Niners just put up 42 on you.
Well, let's hear about that. This is what DA had to say about the San Francisco game.
Well, what did you see on tape as you went back on Sunday night?
And look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about last week. I mean, we've kind of moved on, and we're moving on to Detroit. I'll say this: I don't think I coached well enough last week. I don't think we played well enough last week. And so, you know, you learn your lessons. You go back and make the corrections that you need to make. And now we move forward, and we're getting ready for Detroit. And I appreciate, you know, any of the questions about last week, but you know, at the end of the day, I've been through it plenty of times, you know, and so I'm ready to go ahead and move on.
So that's what you get when you finally get a chance to talk to your coordinators on a Thursday after a Sunday night game. You get the one question, then we've moved on. And we weren't even here. And I figure most of the listeners maybe, you know, doing holiday stuff there on New Year's Day. But that's Dennis Allen pointing the thumb right there. He's in a trick bag, man. Help me out here, Lawrence, because I'm trying to figure out. You're a longtime defensive guy. You're a longtime football person, right? They can't get pressure with four, right?
Even though I would like to point out, even though that is the narrative, and that narrative is legitimate, I would like to point out Austin Booker over the last few games has been really good. He has been really good. He has been disruptive. The problem is that it hasn't happened enough.
But I do feel like they might be growing a pass rusher.
Okay, well, that would be great. And Booker and Jarrett did get, yesterday, two Jared Goff ones. They ran a little stunt. So maybe
a little tackle twist.
So look, maybe they got to do that more. So, but most of the time, they can't get pressure with four. And then when they blitz, sometimes they can't cover behind the blitz. When Tremaine Edmonds blitzed and did not get there, and Goff slid to his left and hit Gibbs for the touchdown right down the middle, it's like, so what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? What is Dennis Allen supposed to do with what the current situation is?
Well, the good news is something that we talked about on Wednesday, that, and we'll hear from Ben Johnson in the 4 o'clock hour, but he is saying what we were discussing, which was Kyler's window looks like it's going to open back up, and that would make him eligible to play on Saturday. And that's asking a lot. I think part of the reason, this is not anything anyone told me, this is just kind of reading the tea leaves. Mm. I think part of the reason that they put him on IR was to, one, heal up, and then two, kind of use those extra 2 weeks as the 21-day ramp-up period that will then end on Saturday. Mm. Like, not officially, but saying, okay, we know that we're going to need you back. Let's get you healed up. And now that you're healed up, now we're going to run you through a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to find out where you're at so that when we get to playoff game week, because Ben Johnson was pretty open about the fact that he wanted Kyler to be back on this team, but this time you can't have a late scratch. It can't be, well, Kyler is going to go, and then 90 minutes before the game starts or 60 minutes before the game starts, after you've already given your inactives, he can't play.
All right, but this is a big, big ask.
It is.
It's a massive ask.
But he's one of your highest paid defensive players, too.
Yes, yes.
So these
are the playoffs.
That might help. But the problems are so deep with this team. The guy that you count on to be your cover corner is not himself.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson is clearly not himself.
He's not himself. Mm-hmm. Now, he's still got incredible instincts, and we saw it play out in the last game against San Francisco. He tips that ball that ends up being picked off by TJ Edwards, who scores a touchdown. He just doesn't, he's not moving like the guy that we're used to. And I will say, Jalen's in what, year seven? For is it year six or year seven? Look, injuries are one part of the issue, but so is time in the league. Sometimes those things just, they compound. And you're not the guy that you were.
Oh, boy. I hope that's not the case.
I hope it's not either. I feel like he needs an entire offseason to get himself right. But I understand him being like, I want to win.
I got to play.
I want to play on a winning team. And whatever help I – if that means that I'm only playing 55% of the snaps, so be it.
So to your point on Jalen and time in the league, there's any number of corners, like lockdown cover corners in the history of the league, who've signed big, big deals. And within a couple years, you're like, oh, they're not quite what they used to be.
Yeah, you're and like, I hope remember
that's
that not guy?
Yeah, right, exactly. I hope that Josh Norman comes to mind.
Got huge money. He stuck around for a little bit and kind of recaptured it.
Right, but he wasn't what he was, that's for sure.
So you have that issue. You have with Nashawn Wright an incredible story. A guy that's made some big plays but has also given up a bunch of big plays this season.
And let me say what I said in transition. I think Tyreek Stevenson's got to play. And I think he's got to play for Nashawn Wright. And you remember when Ben was asked, hey, Tyreek's coming back healthy. You got a problem, a potential good problem, because Nashawn Wright has been making a lot of plays. Remember when Ben smiled and said, yeah, that is. That'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. Nashawn clearly won that job if it was a one-on-one competition. He won that job. But to me at this point, you need the one-on-one cover skills of Tyreek Stevenson on the field. You need the edge that he brings on the field, especially because you might not have C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who brings a very physical edge. I think you're going to need that from Tyreek. And Nashawn Wright has kind of been exposed for the limitations that we've known that he has. Remember, there was a point early in the year, Lawrence, where we were talking about Tyreek Stevenson's maturation as a dude, where he was going to the coaches and saying, hey, help me figure out this coverage because I don't understand it. Like, he had the humility to go and ask for that help. I think it's time to take a shot with Tyreek Stevenson and get him on the field.
I'm a fan of Tyreek Stevenson's skills, and I think in a situation where you need someone that is better in man coverage than your other two choices at corner, this might be an opportunity to deploy him.
Didn't play a single snap yesterday.
I wonder what that's about. I wonder if it's is it concepts? Is it here's
because I don't think you can use him as your fill-in nickel. You know, they use Jalen Jones as the fill-in nickel. When they went to six DBs, they Elijah Hicks got two snaps. Jonathan Owens got two snaps. And maybe those guys got a slight nickel look because Jalen Jones only had three looks. They also, by the way, played three backers occasionally. Remember we talked about that last week, that after Noah Sewell left, they never played three backers? Yesterday they did. DeMarco Jackson did play 12 snaps. Alex really wants DeMarco Jackson to get on the field more.
Doesn't it feel like the defense has struggled ever since? And I'm not blaming him, but TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds coming back into the lineup, and it felt like DeMarco Jackson was really finding his footing and plays Dennis Allen's system very well.
I feel like TJ Edwards is getting the kind of veteran respect that keeps Dansby Swanson high in the lineup.
I mean, he did score a touchdown last week.
And is Tremaine Edmonds still kind of hobbled by that injury? How many guys have gotten injured and come back not nearly as fast?
That is something that I hope Ben takes a long look at over the offseason. Like the procedures of when do we bring guys back?
They will. And who do you trust? Who do you let run their own rehab? Who do you not? But come on, Lawrence. I was hoping to get a little more out of the Dansby Swanson high in the lineup comp.
Who is Dansby Swanson?
Dansby Swanson.
Does he play football?
All right. Well, you can go somewhere else. How about giving a guy a start every fifth day? Who's a White Sox pitcher who got a start every fifth day who didn't deserve it?
Oh, no. This would be trouble on categories. Just a White Sox pitcher. Shane Smith, our all-star.
I don't mean now. I mean back in the day. You're like, why are they rolling him out again?
Hey, Cubs fans. It's Dansby Swanson.
Oh. Maybe for both teams. Edwin Jackson.
Danny Wright.
Why are they giving Danny Wright another start? That's got some TJ Edwards stink on
it. Can I offer a theory about Tyreek Stevenson?
Sure.
We all have kind of fallen in love with Al Harris, right?
Uh-huh.
So much so that there are plenty of people who think that he might end up being hired as somebody's defensive coordinator. There's one guy in Dallas that doesn't like him. We'll get to that later. Uh-huh. But if Al Harris is saying he doesn't need to play snaps for you.
Tyreek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's saying...
And Nashawn Wright is his guy as well. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. Sometimes the manager brings in an old buddy and he can't get out of the lineup, even though the GM knows he probably should.
But zero snaps?
Yeah, zero.
That might tell you that something's...
Something ain't right.
Or a concept isn't being clinged on to by him. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. Let's take a break. And Ben wasn't the only one mad at guys not playing yesterday. Someone else was mad about it.
He's befuddled.
And do you befuddle a legend?
Don't befuddle a legend. Don't do it.
We'll share that with you next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The Eagles still have all three timeouts.
Jake Bates is trying a field goal in Chicago's Soldier Field for the Lions with 2 seconds left in a tie game at 16. And a big fourth and three coming up here for the Eagles.
I love when you do this. I love when you call two games at the same time. This is amazing.
Bates is trying a 42-yard field goal. And that kick is good. And the pass here is high and incomplete for the tight end, Granson. All right, let's take you to Adam in our CBS studios in New York.
Kevin, how about it? Jake Bates, bam, at the gun to win. Beat the Bears, 19-16, your final. Back to you.
All right, so Detroit wins. They're not going to the playoffs. Chicago is.
Kevin Harlan calling two games at once. Ross Tucker enjoying it. But stealing the show?
Adam Schein. By the
rock
way.
Rock and roll, Spiro Dedis.
Oh, there was a Spiro Dedis moment yesterday where I was going to alert you to it. Spiro just got caught up in a lot of, like, things.
Oh, no.
And he was trying to bring Arch into talking about, I forget which one of the players, but it was one of the, it was Ham from the Vikings was, it was like his last game. And so there was a lot of like celebration of him that
of
was
ham.
Going on.
A lot of ham celebration.
Yes, a lot of ham celebration. And Spiro got kind of caught up. And I'm waiting.
I heard this, Lawrence.
I was waiting for him to say to Arch, because, you know, he played, to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he just kind of went.
Kept going.
He descended.
Circular.
I was like, oh Spiro.
No. Always wonderful to see, especially this time of year. We're into the holiday season.
No,
it's
holiday we're out of season. It. We're done, no. Spiro. We're done with the holidays, Spiro. I took the tree to the recycling place yesterday. That's always a fun task, right. Isn't it?
MLK Day is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's not an extended part. Doesn't go all the way to that.
I mean, I know you don't celebrate it, but
do they celebrate in Arizona yet?
They were the last ones.
Took them a long
time. By the
time
I get to Arizona, shout out to Chuck D. So, yeah, I thought about you at that moment.
Oh, yeah, no, Spiro's a mutual friend of ours.
But the other guy,
a Don of the Play-by-Play Mafia, texted me yesterday and said, you've ruined Spiro Dedis for me. Sorry.
But I will say to you that let yesterday be a warning. I know that you think that the Bears are done with Spiro, but the Packers weren't, and they were a playoff team.
Yeah, but that was a meaningless game.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
For anybody who knows, like, Spiro Dedis is how I feel that the Bears have descended when he gets a game on the depth chart. And because of how good they are and what I believe is, I said no Spiro Dedis games next year.
You said for the next 2 years.
I didn't say that.
Yes,
I don't remember
you did.
That. I wasn't here.
You were here. Anyway, back to people resting, folks. Clearly, Ben Johnson had a problem with it. Seth Joyner not happy with what the Eagles did.
Resting your damn players who only play 17 weeks out of 52 weeks in a year is more important than going to get the 2 seed? Then to make matters even worse, you got the Detroit Lions to give you exactly what you want. See, for all you, oh, you know, this is the right move. They need to know. You could have had the number 2 seed and get a beat up Green Bay to come in here, who you've beat the last 3 times in a row, and have all of your playoff games right here at home, unless you have to go to Seattle for the NFC Championship. And if they get knocked off, guess what? You get it at home. The stupidity that you see being exhibited from a 2-time Super Bowl head coach and his staff, it just befuddles me.
Do not befuddle Seth Joyner.
He was befuddled.
It just befuddles me.
I agree with Seth. I agree with Seth. I mean, you didn't know what was going to happen in that game. I feel like that Philly thing has been a mess all year long.
And I don't really like dressing him. Like, if you're not going to play him, don't play him. But there's no reason to dress them.
He played Devontae Smith so he could get to 1,000 yards and then let him sit down.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I don't mind guys getting their incentives. I just wonder what the calculus was versus, like, they didn't value the number 2 seed. And they might be proven right on it. I feel like if you have a chance to take on a wounded opponent, then you try it.
Yeah, and you could host more games.
And you can host more games.
That's the thing. Like, and so now, if you thought the Bears were going to win against Detroit, then maybe you think the Bears will win their playoff game. Because if the Bears win their playoff game and you win your playoff game, now you're coming here.
Yep.
As opposed to playing there. So, I think it was a very curious decision.
The Packers had nothing to gain. They were always going to be the 7th seed.
Yeah, so I don't have an issue with LaFleur not playing them, if that's a choice that he wants to make.
Friend of the show, Brian Bulaga, felt differently.
I'm not too sure how excited I am about preseason football in the last week of the season. And why it kind of confuses me, and it's odd, is because you're on a 3-game skid. You're on a 3-game skid. You've played not very good. Like, let's just be real about it. You haven't played well. You've lost football games. You just got blown out by Baltimore at home. It would be nice to maybe get some positive momentum going and play guys and try to get something positive going in your direction going into the playoffs, where, again, you're the 7th seed again. You got to go on the road again, and you're probably going to go to Chicago or Philly, whoever it may be. You haven't done anything very good in the last 3 weeks. And now you're going to sit everyone, and they're going to watch something not very good happen again today.
Wow. So those are two former players.
It's an interesting point of view about not watch something good. In fact, it was a lot of bad
that
you were watching with Green Bay.
But that you got to – that you need to see – you need to see and feel some positive momentum going in. Those are two players saying that.
Can I just say, though, about the Eagles, they were competitive. Like, that was a close game. That game went down to the last few minutes, mm-hmm. even with a bunch of backups going out there and playing. It just seemed like an interesting, like, that balance of do I want to give my stars basically a bye week to be healthy? And in the case of Green Bay, I completely get it with Jordan Love. I you're talking about a guy who's coming off concussion.
Yeah.
If you can spare him an extra week, why not spare him an extra week?
You know the Vikings were favored by 13.5 yesterday, and they were up 16-0, and then the Packers called a timeout
to kick a field goal
on the final play and kicked a field goal.
Didn't want to get shut out.
And they didn't. And if you bet the Vikings minus 13.5, you lost that game based on a last-second field goal when they called a timeout just because they didn't want to get shut out.
Sounds like a bad beat to me.
It really does.
All right.
Someone did say online yesterday on Twitter, shocking, that if you bet that game at that line, if you didn't get it at like 12 or whatever, or 12.5,
that's on
just,
you.
Just call the number.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
1-800-GAMBLER.
Get you
need to do that. Speaking of which, we got word before the show if you're someone that likes to know what the lines are on things, Joe Ostrowski is going to be joining us throughout the playoffs.
Joe O for playoff football. I like it. We could also get Ruben Spiegel's picks if you guys are missing those. But Joe's better at it.
Yeah.
He's the real deal.
He's an actual professional.
Yeah. Ruben can look at a Panther and see what a Panther can do. You know.
Apparently getting to the playoffs backdoor style.
Thanks, Falcons.
Yep. No doubt about that. When we come back, let's hear how Ben thinks things went after watching the tape. We heard him angry after the game. Maybe it's more measured. Maybe it's angrier. We'll hear that next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.